we're getting this morning's study, and it is Palm Sunday, and we recognize that this week we prepare our hearts and certainly the fullness of the gospel message and what Christ has done for us. And so if you are able to this week, we do, if you're new to Calvary Chapel or the fellowship, we do our Good Friday message on Wednesday. What we do is we do the seven sayings of Jesus Christ on the cross. Each saying will be basically shared by an elder or one of the men of the fellowship. So it's a time of certainly worship, but to opportunity to go to the cross and hear the heart of our Lord. And so if you're able to, 7 o'clock Wednesday, we'll be having the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. Another thing that's going to be coming up, and I just want to kind of put it out there, and you guys pray about it and see if the Lord would lead you to join us. Many of you know that we sold 100 pew chairs to a fellowship in Detroit called Lifeline Church, Pastor Alan Yancey and his family. The Lord's really kind of forming a relationship there, and Pastor Yancey, some of you know from the prayer chain, was in for surgery. He had his gallbladder removed and inflamed gallbladder, had some stones removed, and he's recuperating, and we were just talking and had an opportunity to pray with him, and he invited me to come down and speak to his fellowship. Every month that there's five Sundays, that fifth Sunday, they have a friends and fellowship meeting in the afternoon. And so on Thursday, the last Sunday of this month, at 3:30 on the last Sunday of this month, I'm going to go down and just share with their fellowship and want to open it up. Anybody that the Lord would lead to go down and join with another fellowship, brothers and sisters in Christ, hang out and worship and have fellowship afterwards. I just wanted to open that up to you. And so I don't know what the 30th. I think it's the 30th of April. So why don't you stand, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1 as we continue our study through the Gospel of Mark. I promise one day we will actually get to the end of Mark. We're going to pick up at verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Heavenly Father, we lift up this morning, we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move, that you would fill us, that we would hear your word very clearly, Lord, this morning. I pray that you would speak to each heart, Lord, and if there's anybody here this morning that needs to hear these words, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe. Lord, that you would open their hearts, give them eyes to see and ears to hear this morning especially. This message of love and of grace and of mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, what you came to do. And this message, the preaching that you did while you were here, sharing yours and the Father's plan for salvation for mankind. And Lord, we want to hear it very clearly this morning. So bless this time, we pray, and move amongst this fellowship and congregation. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. I know you're all astonished. We're going to get through two more verses today. I think it's very important, though, that we see what Mark has given us and telling us here in his gospel as he begins the gospel. Remember, and really a key to this gospel is that Jesus came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And as we look at the scripture this morning, there's just some questions that kind of came to my mind and that I'm sure have often come to mind when we're reading through the scriptures and considering the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? When is the kingdom of God coming? Where is the kingdom of God? How do I get there, or how do I get in? And so as we read this morning and consider Christ's message, we're going to address these questions about the kingdom of God. But just, I want to, we're not, well, it wasn't my plan to include the calling of the disciples. It says, "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him." And the Lord just kind of ministering to me about that. And this is kind of an aside, but something I just want to share that the Lord is revealing to me. And we've heard a lot of teachings, probably read books about fishers of men. And certainly the just how awesome it was that God was choosing these men from that Sea of Galilee as he walked along. And I was reminded this morning by the Lord, you know, it didn't end there. And we know that he called other men unto himself, but he's never stopped calling men and women to follow him. And as I was sitting and meditating and really just preparing the message this morning, the Lord said, "You know, Bill, I came by a men's Bible study, and I called Bill DeRocher to follow me. I went by a wood yard, a wood lot one day, and I called Denny Menando to follow me." And so many of you have that story and know just when the Lord came and where he met you and that he called you to follow him. And we know that it would be those men that he called from the Sea of Galilee that ultimately he would give the great commission to share the kingdom of God and to preach the gospel wherever they went. And he's called us to do the same thing. And I was listening to a while ago to Pastor Malcolm Wilde down at Merritt Island. And I just wanted to share this as we're considering the gospel and the kingdom of God this morning, and that Jesus was preaching as he went around. Three things to remember when sharing the gospel. And a lot of times you hear people say, "I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to share the gospel." I want you to remember these three things even as we consider the teaching this morning. Remember these three things. First and foremost, the events. Malcolm said the important thing to remember in sharing the gospel were the cross and the resurrection. So important that we understand. And the gospel, we know, Paul would say, speaks of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And certainly in this week as we are coming to Easter Sunday, that is going to be in the forefront. Secondly, the demands. And Jesus gives them here very clearly. It's to repent and believe. And thirdly, the promises. And there are so many promises that we can share with others and the things that God has done in our lives. But there's forgiveness. We're given the promise of the kingdom of God and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's a very simple message to share. We can remember the simplicity with what it was shared with to us. And so, you know, just a reminder that he's calling you, he's calling me to share the gospel of the good news and the kingdom of God, that it's here. And so in verse 14, it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The Gospel of Mark is really a complete portrayal of the public ministry of Jesus Christ, the climax of which results in Calvary, his death and his resurrection. He gives an account of the ministry of Jesus, though, in Galilee, and then the ministry of Jesus in Jerusalem, pointing out some of the key events as Jesus moves from Galilee to Jerusalem. You see, Jesus had been in Judea. John gives a snapshot of some of the ministry that was going on there. He was there for a short period of time while the ministry of John the Baptist is coming to a conclusion. Evidently, John's ministry and the declaration of Jesus as the Son of God caused quite a stir in the area of Judea. You see, the climate in Judea was not conducive to the message that Jesus Christ came to preach. It was the geopolitical and religious center of Israel. And so Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee, where the influence of the religious leaders was not nearly as obtrusive as it was in Jerusalem and the surrounding area of Judea. John the Baptist now has fulfilled his calling. It's time for Jesus to come to the forefront. The way for the Messiah has been prepared. And so Mark tells us that John the Baptist is jailed. He's taken into captivity. Mark will actually give the events that happen after that in chapter 6. And we've talked about the importance of the Gospel of Mark. It's less about what did Jesus say as it is what did Jesus do. He preached, literally heralded loudly, the gospel. That is the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, some of the manuscripts omit the kingdom of the kingdom here and read the gospel or good news of God himself. You see, Jesus was proclaiming the rule of God on earth, not the expected political kingdom that would replace that oppressive rule of the Roman Empire at the time. That is what the people had hoped for. That's what they were expecting that their king would come to do, that the Messiah, when he came, would set things right politically. It's not what Christ came and was proclaiming. What he was proclaiming was a heavenly kingdom. Have you ever wondered what exactly is the kingdom of God? David Guzik, in his commentary writes this: contrary to the expectations of most people in his day, Jesus brought a kingdom of love, not subjugation, of grace, not law, of humility, not pride, for all men, not only the Jews, to be received voluntarily by man, not imposed by force. As we proceed with our study of this gospel, Mark is certainly going to stress the wonderful works of Jesus Christ, the many miracles that he performed and that Mark has shared with us. But we must not miss the importance of these two verses. The work and the miracles never precede the importance of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ or the Word of God. Jesus was a preacher who worked many miracles. He was not a miracle worker who sometimes shared a message. It's very important that we understand that. Mark actually ends his gospel with the very same emphasis as he commissions his disciples to go out and to preach the gospel. And we know that the commission was to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But Mark tells us this specifically as he addresses the disciples in Mark 16, verses 15 through 17. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Share the good news wherever you go. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues." And so these signs will follow. The commission, first and foremost, is always, always, always share the good news. Preach the gospel. Let people know about the kingdom of God. There is disorder when the church presents the emphasis on the miracles and not the message. So what is the kingdom of God exactly? Paul says in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So first, the kingdom of God we see is righteousness. The good news of God is that the king has come to establish a heavenly kingdom. In Jeremiah 23:6, we're told, in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called the Lord, our righteousness. Paul says in the second letter to Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And then in his letter to the Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And so the kingdom of God is first righteousness. Secondly, this kingdom of God is peace. We're told by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, there is a government that was given to him. The governance of the kingdom of God will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. John chapter 14, verse 20, Jesus himself said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There is real peace to be found in the kingdom of God. In fact, Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, also wrote chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so second, we see that the kingdom of God is righteousness, the kingdom of God is peace, and thirdly, the kingdom of God is joy. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And understanding that anytime the scriptures talk about the right hand of God, it's speaking of the Son who is at the right hand of glory. Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be made full. You know, as I was searching through the scriptures and looking at what it had to say about joy, I find that joy is almost always associated with the salvation of the Lord. That joy is found in salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the kingdom of God. And then verse 15, it says, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God was an expectation of every religious Jew. And Jesus was preaching the hope that they had that Messiah would, in fact, come and set up his kingdom here on earth. Now, we're not going to address it here completely this morning, but we understand that that is still yet to come, the reality of the kingdom of God here on earth. He is going to come and set it up. But there is a kingdom that Jesus is speaking of here. So we have established what the kingdom of God is. Now we need to know, when is the kingdom of God coming? The time is fulfilled. The word for time is not the common word chronos, but kairos. That is the strategic opportunity and the decisive time. And what he is saying is the kingdom of God is at hand. It is established. The kingdom of God is literally established in the advent of Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus says the time is now for God's kingdom to be established. We know that the scripture says you can seek, you can knock and find the kingdom of God right now. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know what that scripture says? It can be found now. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't have offered it to us to be found, right? To be sought. What things? And I like God's things. How many of you like God's things? How many of you like stuff, right? We all like stuff, right? Here's the promise. Seek first the kingdom of God, which is available now for us to seek, and his righteousness, and all these things. Have you ever wanted things? God's got things for you. Isn't that good news? What things? Well, righteousness, joy, peace. Isn't that neat? Can be yours right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's what Christ came to preach and to let people now know. The time is fulfilled. The acceptable time, the established time of the coming of the Messiah was realized then. And when is the time of the kingdom of God? It's now. You can enjoy the kingdom of God right now, he's saying. The third point, okay, where is it? Right, you know, where is it? Where is the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus says it's at hand. In other words, it's right in front of your face. Or as near to you as your hand is. When Jesus sent the 70 out to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, he told them this in Luke chapter 10, verse 9, and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And then in verse 11, the very dust of your city which clings to us we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. Because you have heard the truth about the kingdom of God, because you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has come and fulfilled all the prophecies of the Messiah, and you have rejected it, is what is being said there. Just know this, because you've heard it, it has come very near to you. And if you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, know this, the kingdom of God is very near to you this morning. The fourth point that we can glean here, and some of you may be wondering, if it's near, how do I get there? How do you get to the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus says, repent. Have you ever heard a word that is less liked, even in the church today, than the message of repentance? Some of you may have gone, what? Not that repentance message again. Listen. Well, it's like you cannot get to the kingdom of God heading in the direction you are going, is what Jesus is saying. You need to repent. You see, repent is a change of direction. Jesus is saying you're heading the wrong way, and I'm showing you the right way. Some people hear the word repent and think that it's attached to feelings, and often we feel sorry for our sins, or we feel sorry for our trespasses. But it's much more than that, repentance. It's a call to action. Not just feeling sorry for sin, but actually turning from sin and following Jesus Christ. It's more than what we do when we turn to God. It actually describes what turning to Jesus is like. If I told you that you are lost where you are sitting, where you sit right now, you are lost. But if you come here and stand with me right here, you'll be saved. I don't have to tell you that you need to leave where you are to come up here, do I? No. To come up here is to leave where you are sitting. And that's what repentance is. Leaving the life that you're now living. Because if you do not leave where you are sitting, then you have not come up here, is the reality. To come to the kingdom of God means to leave the life of self-reliance, self-righteousness, a self-life, and of sin. And Jesus said, if you want to know how to get to the kingdom of God, you need to repent. You need to stop heading in the direction you're going and listen to the call that Christ has put in your heart. The fifth point, Once you're there, some of you may be wondering, how do I get in? I want in. And the simple truth is, Jesus says, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, is a truth that the scripture gives us. Believe is the word pisteo, and it means more than to say, I believe Jesus. There's a lot of people that believe God, right? We know that, you know, there's a lot of people that speak the right words, Christianese. They have all the right church words. They act the way that they're supposed to act. They go to church. They're committed to fellowship. But it means more than to say, I believe Jesus, more than knowledge or just simple agreement. It means to have a relationship of trust and dependence. Morgan writes this in his commentary, there are many people who believe the gospel, but they do not believe in it. It was an appeal not only to accept it as an intellectually accurate statement, but to rest in it, to repose in it. It was a call to let the heart find ease in it. To believe in the kingdom of God means to be in the kingdom of God. Very simply put. John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. It's more than just knowing who he is, but it's knowing intimately. That word of knowing is, it expresses an intimacy, a closeness, a relationship. We know that we're told to believe in the gospel, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive all things that are promised in God's kingdom. And in that, we find righteousness in the kingdom of God. And it's through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we find peace in his kingdom. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus himself that we find peace with God. Isn't that amazing? And thirdly, it's through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving the promises of the kingdom of heaven where we find joy in his kingdom. David said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. The joy of thy salvation. If you want to experience true joy in your life, give your life, your heart to Jesus Christ and be saved. Find salvation through Jesus Christ. Peter wrote in his first epistle this, starting at verse 6 of the first chapter, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It's in Christ and Christ alone where that righteousness and peace and joy can be found in its wholeness and its completeness that is offered in the kingdom of God. And that's the simplicity of what the kingdom of God is and what Jesus Christ came to preach. It is a very short message, and it's a simple message that we have here in Mark as we know he's going to go out and share the many works and the great miracles that Jesus did. But we need to never, ever forget the centrality and the importance of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And then all these things will be added to you: righteousness, peace, joy, kindness, grace, mercy, love. The things that we really desire in our heart come through knowing Him, knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and Him alone. And that was the message that Jesus came to preach. It was about Him, and it's always been about Him. And as we go into this week, the Passion Week, and understanding what Christ came to do for us, that He would sacrifice Himself and offer Himself on that cross, a ransom for many. We talked about that last week. Are you one of the many? Are you experiencing the righteousness and the peace and the joy of the kingdom of God because you have given your life to Jesus Christ? Nothing more important. No, the most important decision you will ever make in your life is not who you will marry, not, you know, the house that you purchase or your next car. Look out in the parking lot. Some of you guys got some new cars. You may think that the most important decision you will ever make is, what will you do with this man, Jesus Christ? What will you do? And the call is still going out to follow Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that even this morning, as we consider the message you came to preach, Lord, it wasn't just for that day, for Galilee, in the area of Judea, Jerusalem, but it was for us here this morning, calling men and women to experience the precious promises of your kingdom, of what you came to deliver, Lord, to give to us. And I just pray that as eyes are closed and heads are bowed, Lord, that you would just search our hearts. There are some of us here, Lord, who maybe have been wandering, have professed faith, but you're calling us back. And I just pray, Lord, that you would minister through the power of your Holy Spirit to those hearts, those, Lord, who just want to return, that have a heart as David did, create in me a new heart, Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit, Lord. And if there's anybody here who's praying that, I pray that you would cleanse and wash, refresh and renew, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill, and that they would sense your presence, Lord. And if anybody's here this morning and they have believed the truth, if they've believed in their head and understood what they've been told, but Lord, have never opened up their heart, I pray that this morning would be the day of salvation, that today the time would be fulfilled in their life, and that they would enter into your kingdom, that they would enjoy your righteousness and your peace and your joy. And if that's you here this morning, and you want to pray for salvation, to know that that hope is yours this morning, I want you to raise your hands. We want to pray for you this morning. Is there anybody here who's believed in their head but has never allowed it to sink into their heart? You want that peace and that joy and that righteousness that have been promised through the kingdom of heaven this morning? Anybody? Lord, I pray that you would refresh your children and your church. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing, the promise of your Holy Spirit that is moving and changing lives, manifesting yourself in power, Lord. And I just pray that you would continue to pour out your Holy Spirit upon your children and in your church, Lord, that you would fill us right now to overflowing. Lord, as we prepare to go and break bread together and drink, Lord, we recognize that you broke bread and you passed a cup, that your heart's desire as you went to that cross was that we might have communion with our Father as you had with the Father, Lord. And we thank you for the life that you gave so that we might have life, the hope that we have through your resurrection, the forgiveness of sins that we have through the shedding of your blood. And as we eat together and we drink together, Lord, may you be at the center of that fellowship and that communion, one with another. I just pray that you would be present and real. We thank you and we praise you for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.